still believe God?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul, when he was on that ship and it was gone, and they'd done everything they could, all those seasoned sailors, and he said all hope was gone that we should be saved. But he told those sailors, I still believe God. Amen. I still believe God. God's great. We've had a wonderful missions conference this week. And for those of you who didn't get to come, we hope that you'll just be praying for this morning and tonight. Be back tonight at 6:30. Let's give welcome this morning, Brother Eddie Goddard, full-time evangelist from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Hey, good to see you. I like to say God's good. Amen. Last Sunday, I was married 54 years. And my wife and I have never had an argument that I've won. I've lost every one of them. And I told somebody, it was a guy told me, I was in school with him, and we went to Barber College together up in Durham. And I saw him a while back, and he was retiring. And he's 79. But me, and I said, he said, I don't want to stay in the house that woman 24/7. He said, we fuss all the time. I said, Johnny, you mean you tell me you've been married over 50 years, you don't have any more sense than to fuss at your wife? I said, you're not going to win, man. Amen. But it's good to see you. But I thank God for my wife. I guarantee Billy thanks God for his wife. He's got a good wife. You got to have a good wife. Amen. Bible said he that getteth a wife getteth a good thing. Okay, take your Bible and turn to John chapter 21. I won't go preach this, but I'm going to. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray and then remain standing as we read the Word of God. Okay, but it is good to see you. I was telling my wife the other day, it was our anniversary, and I wasn't there. I called her, and I was talking about this guy. He said it was his 50th wedding anniversary, and they said, what you going to get your wife? He said, well, on her 25th, said I took her to Paris, and they said, well, I bet you're going to do something big for her this year. If you did on the 25th, you took her to Paris. He said, yeah, I think on my 50th, I'll go back and get her. So they got along pretty good. Amen. We're going to pray. We need to pray after that. We're going to pray and then read. Father, we love you today. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all sin. Thank you, God, your grace is sufficient for us in every situation. I pray you'd help us tonight. I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 21, it said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And look at this. And that night they caught nothing. Now, I'm not going to read, but it said the next morning, it said that they caught nothing. It said they saw somebody on the seashore and said, hey, have you caught any fish? Have any fish? And they said, no. And he said, cast your net on the other side. They cast their net on the other side. And they caught a great multitude of fish. In fact, 153, they counted them. And 153. And it says when, and John said, Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter was naked, the Bible said, and he threw on the fisherman's coat, jumped in the sea, and he swam to go to the shore. And then you look over in verse 12, and Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them the fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Yeah, you may be seated. You know, J. Wallace Hamilton made this statement. He said that we ought to train men for failure rather than success because we fail more than we succeed. And I thought about that. We've trained men for failure because we how to react to failure because we fail more in life than we succeed. These disciples failed in their faith. After all that Jesus told them, he said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be resurrected the third day. And the word of God says when they told Mary said, hey, Jesus has risen from the dead. It said it seemed as an idle tale to them. They, after all that God had done, they failed in their faith. They failed in their following Christ. You know, when Jesus was crucified, the Bible says, you know, Peter said, Lord, though all men forsake you, I'm telling you, I'm going to be right there. But the word of God says that they all ran and left him. Hey, but here they were, they're professional fishermen, and they failed in fishing. Said, hey, listen, they made their living fishing, but they failed in their fishing. Somebody said yesterday, Brother Bill and I were talking, he said he loved to fish. I love to eat fish. I worked for a fellow one time. He said, I'm going to take all you guys down to the coast and fish. It won't cost you anything. And I said, I don't care anything about that. I said, just take us to the fish house. Use a little silver bait. You know what I mean? But but these guys failed in fishing. Why did they fail? Was there something wrong with their boat? Hey, I'll guarantee you, knowing Peter and reading about Peter in the Bible, listen, I guarantee you Peter had probably one of the sharpest boats out there. Wasn't anything wrong with the boat. Hey, was there anything wrong with the place they were fishing? Hey, the Sea of Galilee is rich with fish. Wasn't anything wrong with their net? Hey, every time you read, they were always mending their nets. Their net was okay. Hey, nothing wrong with the place, nothing wrong with the boat. You know, there's really nothing wrong with the church. Jesus said, it's my church, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's nothing really wrong with the church. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the net, the gospel. The gospel is still the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. Hey, if a man believes the gospel, he gets saved today, just like he did 2,000 years ago. Nothing wrong with the net, nothing wrong with the boat, nothing wrong with the place. Hey, you say, well, the world's awful. That's where Jesus sent us, into the world. Didn't he say, go into all the world? In John 17, he used the world 19 times. He said, Father, they're not of the world, but I sent them into the world that the world might know that I love them as thou hast loved me. Nothing wrong with the place, nothing wrong with the net, nothing wrong with the church, nothing wrong with the gospel, nothing wrong with the place. You say, what was the problem? Do you notice it says there was Simon Peter, Nathaniel, Thomas, James and John, and two others. You know the problem? It was the people in the boat. Amen. Hey, Peter, the cusser, the proud cusser, he said, Lord, though all men forsake you, I won't forsake you. And when the time come, Peter ran, and the word of God says, the little mate said, I know you're one of his disciples. Said, I am not. She came again and said, here one. He said, I am not. She came again and said, you're one of his disciples. Your speech betrayeth you. And the word of God says, Peter began to curse a man that had walked with Christ. A man that had seen all the miracles, the Bible said he began to curse. Blankety blank, I don't know the man. You say, why did Peter curse? He followed Christ afar off, you know. And you know why people get in trouble? Hey, they follow Christ afar off. And then there was Nathaniel. Nathaniel was I call him a critic. It said, we've seen the Messiah. And Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I don't like critics. Do you? I'd be bragging on Brother Danny there. And I'd say Danny's a good guy. You know what a critic will say? When I get through, they say, well, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't say that. That's all they got to say. And I think, well, they know. I don't know. You stay away from a critic. Hey, he'll kill your faith if you listen to critics. And then there was Thomas, the doubter. You know, they said, Thomas, the Lord's come and he's resurrected. And Thomas said, I don't believe that. Said, I'm not going to believe unless I could put my hand in his, see the scars, and put my hand in his side. And then there was James and John. They wanted to kill people. These were Christ's disciples, cussers, critics, doubters. And then James and John, they said, Lord, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. Said, you want us to tell them, and we told them to stop. He said, don't worry about it. Hey, your problem's not the church down the road. And then they said, Lord, we went and these people didn't receive us. Said, you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them? These were disciples. Church built on our foundation. They want us to kill them? I thought, boy, those are nice guys. And then the Bible says there were two others. That's me and you. Hey, that is absolutely the problem in this world. And more me than you, probably. They said, a guy wrote an article in the New York Times years ago. He said, What in the world is wrong with the world? They said the next day, G. Kesterson wrote in there in answer to your editorial yesterday. He said, I am. We're the problem, amen. And then after all of that, they went fishing. They didn't catch anything. They failed at fishing. And then the Bible says that they caught 153 fish. Jesus knows where the fish are. They caught 153 fish. I saw a sign on the back of a pickup the other day. It had a big picture. And here's what it said. It had a picture of a fish. It said, catch them and stretch them. And you know, I've heard more fish stories. I used to work the fishermen. Those guys would come in there, and they tell all these whoppers, you know, say, I caught one about that far from the bank, you know. And, I mean, they just talk all that stuff. Hey, but they caught all these fish. And then after, as the Bible says, after they had dined, Jesus looked at Peter, the cusser, the guy that had, you know, Jesus never mentioned the fact that he cussed. He didn't say, Peter, I'll forgive you if you promise never to mess up again. He never mentioned. You ever notice in Hebrews 11, man, he said God's not ashamed to call their God. There was David and Samson and Jacob and all these people. You know, God never mentions their sin. And he mentions their faith. You know, listen, God's not going to mention my sin at the judgment seat of Christ. You say, he takes our sin away. Well, if we never get a hold of that thing and really believe that God forgives sin and forgets sin, amen? But here's what Jesus asked this question. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He didn't say, Simon, do you love the church? He said, do you love me? He didn't say, Simon, do you love James and John? Do you love the brethren? He said, do you love me? He didn't say, do you love sheep? He said, do you love me? You know the key to living the Christian life? You know the key to doing what's right? Listen, do you love Jesus Christ? That's the key. You know why I go to church? Not so I can go to heaven. I go to church. We're supposed to go to church because we love Christ. You know why I tithe? Not so I get a brownie points. I tithe because we ought to tithe because we love Jesus Christ. You know why you ought to give to missions? Because you love Jesus Christ. That's the key. Do you love me? Jesus said, that's it. If you love me, you'll love the church, you'll love the brethren, you'll love to give. Hey, you'll love souls. He didn't say you love souls. Listen, if you love him, you love souls. I had a guy one time, and I heard him. He said his mama had died. And he said, when I grew up, we always loved cats. He said, my mama loved cats. I loved cats, and every time I'd see an old stray cat, I'd bring a cat home. He said, my daddy hated cats. He said, you know, I never heard my daddy say one kind word to a cat in all of his life. He said, that cat had come in the house. He'd say, get that cat out of here. Said, get that cat out of here, kick it out the door. Said, my daddy despised cats. But he said, my mom always had a cat, and my mama had an old cat she loved, and she died. So he said he drove from Texas to Oklahoma to see his daddy. And he said he was out there, and he said, sitting down at the house, see his daddy, and said, this cat that his mama loved so much said, came in came in the house. His daddy didn't say anything to me until he got up against his leg and purred, and he reached down and petted that cat. He thought, looked at his wife. He thought, I've never heard my daddy say a kind word to a cat in my life. And so his daddy picked the cat up and petted the cat. And he said, Daddy, I didn't know you like cats. He said, yeah. He said, you know, I had to take this old cat to the vet last week. He said, Daddy, you didn't even take us to the vet, to the doctor when I was a kid. And he said his daddy made over that cat all day long. So they were going home, and his wife looked at him and said, Honey, do you know why your daddy making over that cat? He said, loves that cat because your mama loved that cat. You know, if you love Jesus, you love what Jesus loves. Amen. You know, I think of it. Old Bill Burr, you don't know him. He was a singer and a pastor. And Bill got prostate cancer. And he said, you know, Eddie, they put those seeds in me. And they told me not to be around a pregnant woman for 3 months, not to hold a kid on my lap, not to hold a cat or dog, any pet on my lap. And he said, you know, the first thing I saw when I got out of my car from the hospital, he said, I saw a cat. He said, I always hated cats. And I said, here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty, kitty. But that man probably still didn't like cats, but he loved his wife. And you know, they're sinners. I really don't like them. I told somebody, well, I love that person. I want them to get saved, but I don't like them. We had a guy in our church that he was one of these in and out, had to chase him. But he molested his daughter. And I'm telling you, every time I'd see him, but I had to pray for him and had to get down and pray with him and tell him God had forgiven him. I didn't like him, but I didn't like what he did. But you say, why'd you do that? Because I love Christ, and Christ tells me to do that. Listen, if you love him, you know what? If you love Christ, you know why people go the second mile? You think people like to go the second mile? They go the second mile because what they love Christ, and Christ says no. So they do that because they love Christ. You know why people forgive? Because they love Christ. You know why a person can forgive somebody over and over and over again? Hey, not because they makes them feel good. They do that because they love Christ. That's why you forgive. You love Christ. I had a lady. I don't understand why anybody wouldn't like me. I'm one of the nicest guys. If you don't believe me, ask me. But I don't know why she didn't like me. But she'd call me, and she'd get in the hospital, think she's going to die, and she'd call me, and I'd go visit her, and she'd say, I want you to forgive me. And I'd say, for what? She said, I've talked about you. I've talked about the church. I've talked about you. And she thought she was going to die, you know. And I said, I don't have any problem forgiving you. She said, why'd you forgive her? I love Christ. and she didn't die. And she came to church, and she wanted to say something, and she stood up with piano over here. She stood up in front of that piano, and she said, I've run the church down. I've run the preacher down. She said, I've asked the preacher to forgive me. She said, forgive me. I want you to forgive me. And as we went by and shook her hand. She had blisters on her hand, and just kept saying, you say, why did we do that? Because we love Christ. And you know what she did? She didn't die. And 4 or 5 months later, she called me again. I bet she called me 5 times and asked me to forgive her. What'd you do? Forgave her. Forgave her for the same thing. You say, why? Because I love Christ. And Christ said in a day, 7 times 70 in a day. That's just always forgiving. You say, why you do that? Because you love Christ. I've seen people forgive people for stuff that I thought, I don't know whether I can do that or not. I don't know whether I forgive them or not. Hey, but you can if you love Christ. The key is, do you love Christ? If you love Christ, you can forgive. You can go the second mile. Hey, you can turn the other cheek if you love Christ. If you don't, you fight. If you don't, you get bitter if you don't love Christ. Amen. You know, one day I worked over in Chapel Hill. I lived in Durham, and I was coming into my street, and I had a big bank behind my house, and my wife, I built a wall back there and filled it in, and she had put flowers on it. And but my neighbor had a bank, and my property went over there from about right here to where Billy is to his house. He had a bank too, and I came in. He had dug a ditch in my yard. It looked like Stevie Wonder had dug it. I mean, that thing went like this. It was that wide someplace, that wide someplace. I looked at it and I thought, great day in the morning. Why did he dig a ditch in my yard like that? Why did he dig it over in his yard? And I got in the house. My wife said, Eddie, what do you think about that ditch? I said, when I get through eating, I'm going over there and tell him to fill in that ditch. Well, I got to thinking while I was eating, they was letting this little boy go to church with us. Those people didn't go to church. We was trying to get them to church. They didn't go to church. That little boy, he was going to church with us. And so after supper, I just sat there. My wife said, Eddie, what you going to do about that ditch? You going over and say something to him? I said, nah. I said, if they do, they won't let that little boy go to church anymore, and they won't ever get saved over much of stupid dirt. I said, by the way, there's no ditch here now. I don't know who filled it in. I sold the house, went to Bible college. But, you know, I was preaching up in Mebane, North Carolina a few years ago. There was a young man standing at the door, shaking my hand, and grinning. And he said, you that Eddie Goddard used to live over in Windsor Hills? And I said, I sure am. I said, who are you? He's a youth director in that church. He probably wouldn't have been a youth director today if I'd have said, fill in that ditch. Only thing he'd remembered a preacher. Wasn't a preacher then, but I was getting ready to be. I just didn't know what he meant. And listen, if you love Christ, you can forgive. You can let people dig ditches in your yard. Listen, you can go the second mile. Listen, you can turn the other cheek if you love God. Now, here's the key. Do you love God? You know why you'll make a faith promise this morning? So people get saved in Mexico or Honduras or Colombia or Argentina or Russia or Germany. Listen, I don't really love those people. I don't know them. I don't know who they are. But I love Christ. And because I love Christ, he says to send the gospel around the world. Listen, do you love Christ? Listen, that's the key. If you love Christ, you'll love souls. If you love Christ, you'll want to get the gospel around the world. Do you think I wouldn't rather take my money and just buy a bunch of junk with it? Well, it'd be a lot of fun. I mean, I could go, I give a lot to me. I could go a lot of places and do a lot of things with that money that I give to me. You say, but how come you know? Because I love God and I want to obey God. I want to do what God says. Amen. I don't get any kick out. I'm not a sadist. I don't get any kick out of somebody popping you and talking about you and doing you wrong. But you forgive them. You say, why? Because you love God. Now listen, do you? How many of you love God? Okay, you may put your hand. I'm going to ask you to prove it. You know what it says in 2 Corinthians 8? It says about giving, they gave self, they gave supernaturally. It says, and Paul said, do that to prove, chapter 8, prove the sincerity of your love. You know, it's easy to say I love God. I've heard people tell me they love God. And I didn't believe them at all. You know, guy used to smack his wife around. He said, I just love God. I said, you don't love God. You would smack your wife around like that. But if you love God, you know, I'm going to quit. My wife said this to me. She said, I was leaving home one day. I run out and jump in the car, and she's up on the porch. And I said, hey, baby, I love you. And here's what she said to me. She said, Eddie, talk's cheap. She said, it takes money to ride a train. And she did like this. What's she saying? If you really loved me, you wouldn't just jump in that car. You'd give me a kiss and hug and tell me. Listen, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And the Bible says because he first loved us, we love him. The key is, do you love Christ? If you love Christ, listen, you'll love what Christ loved. Amen? I want you to bow your head with me. And you got a card there. Now, this is for people that come here regularly. If you're a visitor, this is not something they do every day. You know what I mean? Or every Sunday. You say, that church just wants to get my money. No, this is not something they do every Sunday. This is how they support their missionaries and send the gospel around the world. You say, why do they do that? Well, people used to tell me, we need it right here at home. I said, but Jesus said, go into all the world and preach your gospel to every creature. Someone will ask you to bow your head, ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give? But first, before you bow your head, I want you to look up here at me. You got a little card here. It's perforated. On there, it says what you're going to give per week. This is not your tithe. I've had a lot of people, they quit tithing and start giving a mission. No, the church has got to operate, amen? But it's above your tithe, and you check on there what you're going to give each week, above your tithe. Don't want your name on there. That's between you and God. But listen, somebody will be in heaven because you made a faith promise this morning. You know, I was in, they were building a Bible school in Japan. And so a bunch of us gave some money. I wanted our church to give the most, so we gave. I guess 15 years later, I asked this preacher, his brother-in-law was heading it up, and I said, how's that Bible school doing in Japan? He said, listen to this. He said they graduated 110 full-time Christian workers over there in Japan, missionaries and school teachers going out. And I thought, you know, some of those people that gave there at our church, three-fourths of them are dead and in heaven. But they're still getting reward for that faith promise they made. Amen. I want you to put that on your card, and we're going to pass the offering plate. Don't put your name on there. Tear it off like this. Put this part in the offering, okay? Now, you visitors, this is not something they do every week. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I believe God's put bread on my table because I have given to missions. I'm telling you the truth. A guy told me one time, he said, preacher, I can't afford to give. Name's old Charlie Bishop. He said, I said, Charlie, I can't afford not to. I left my church when I resigned. I had $100, an old car. Just like in 2 months, been 50 years old. My mama said, what you going to do? How you going to feed your family? I said, Mama, I'm going to trust God. I said, God will take care of me. She said, but what if he don't? My mama said, but what if he don't? I said, if he don't, I'll just starve to death. Hey, God's taking care of you. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Shake it down, press together, and running over shall mean giving you business. Hey, you ushers, come and just pass the plates and put your card in there. Don't put your name on there. It's between you and God. And you know why you're saved today? Somebody gave. I got saved in a church. And I got saved in that church, but you know there was a church there because somebody gave. I'm going to heaven today because somebody gave. But the one that really gave was the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for righteous man, woman died peradventure for a good man. But God commended his love toward us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. Hey, he died, and I love him today. I'm as sorry as Peter, but we love him because he loved us. That's the key. Amen. You put that in that offering plate. You pray about it. You say, do you do that? I sure do, you know. It'll be a blessing in your life. Amen? I was going to see if Billy put his card in. I'm just kidding. You need a card, Billy? Huh? You left yours. I'll get it. That'll look bad if you don't put one. I'm not putting him on the spot. But hey, I know Billy gives. How many of you love God? Let me see it. You know, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? It really is. They used to accuse me. I did have a Faith Promise Conference every year, and then I'd preach on mission some, and they'd... one old guy said, he didn't want you ever say anything about money, you know? But he didn't give any either. I didn't know that until the guy told... I said, man, old guy... He said, listen, I've stood beside him in the choir, take the offering, walk the ground. He said, for 15 years, he said, never seen him put a dollar in a plate. But he fussed about money all the time. He said, I told him one time, hey, buddy, that's put something in. hey, give and it shall be given unto you. Shake now, press God and running over. Well, Brother Billy, you come and give invitation. I done killed it.
I'd like to ask you to bow your heads, if you would, please. Brad's going to sing a verse of a song this morning. I'm thankful for the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. The Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know what? Any person can be saved this morning by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a simple question this morning. If you died right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? He said, these things are written to you that you might know that you have eternal life. You should know, you ought to know, if you're saved this morning. And are you willing to die with what you've got? If you're not, I want you to know this morning, loves you and died for you, and you can be saved this morning. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are saved, you've prayerfully considered what God have you to give, and I already knew what God laid on my heart to give. Maybe you already knew that. But if you hadn't filled your card out, I want you to do it later. And we're praying that every person, I'm talking about children, teenagers, everybody gives something every week to missions. You love the Lord. You love Him. And that'll remind you every week of how good He's been to you. And you'll thank Him for allowing you to be able to give. You'll have a burden for missionaries. You'll pray for them. And you'll pray for those that those missionaries go to talk to. The Lord willing, there's going to be a lot of mission opportunities for you this summer here in this community and in our state. And there'll be opportunities for you to go other places, maybe down to Costa Rica, Panama, or to the Philippines this fall. And it's my desire that every person in the church at some point in time could be involved in some mission work somewhere else in the world. It'll change you, it'll make a difference in your life. But I want you as God's people to really pray that God would bless. We could see souls saved here. And through all the mission efforts of this church that He lays on our heart, that we could see people saved. I want us to stand together. With our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I'd love the privilege of praying for you this morning. If you said, Brother Billy, I don't know for sure, if I died now, I'd go to heaven. And preacher, would you pray for me? Nobody will see your hand but me and God. But if you say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I wish you'd pray for me right now. Would you raise your hand up across the building, all across the building, while I look right up, right back down, so I can see it this morning. Acknowledge that hand, and we'll pray for you. How many of you here this morning, you're Christians, and you say, Brother Billy, I love the Lord, but I'll be honest with you, I haven't loved Him. I haven't been as faithful to Him as ought to be. And I want you to pray that I'd be faithful to the Lord in 2013, and that I'd be used of God for His glory. Would you raise your hand? God bless you, friends, and we pray one for another this morning. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I want to thank you for Brother Eddie. Thank you for the messages this week and for speaking my heart. Thank you, our Father, for these who are here gathered. Now, Lord, I didn't see a hand of anybody that's not saved. And Lord, it sure be a blessing if you call right now that every one of us would leave this building. But Father, we know according to your word that the rapture, that those who are saved to go and those who are lost be left behind. It sure be a tragedy to have a boy or girl standing here in this building by themselves. It'd be a sad thing to have a mom or dad standing here and a husband and wife already gone and they still here if Jesus were to call. And so I pray the Holy Ghost of God right now would convict them, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. If they're not saved, I pray they'd take that step of faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And God, if there's people who need to get around this altar, God's people, some burden, some care, they'd cast all their cares on you this morning. In Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed out.